Amen. Amen. Okay, I don't have a script, but Comas Haynes from Miami, Florida. Went to Florida A&M for mechanical engineering. Went to Georgia Tech to get his PhD in mechanical engineering. Has been saved since 12. And I'm trying to think of something. A funny fact about him is his senior year, he tried to play football for the team, and they said that was like the first time I think they had like a nerd playing football. So he's very versatile, so you know, I'm just saying. We can welcome my dad.
I tried. Hey man, I got you. I'm gonna introduce you one day. I'll be introducing you one day. So, no. Amen. Sister Angela, we're going to work together tonight. I know I've already made some requests for you. I'm going to make another request in a second. But I want to just thank God for this opportunity. The lovely Haynes ladies are all out of town. But my sons are here, as was stated. And Corey and Christian, actually, it was even before Pastor Greg asked for Christian to come up. It was on my heart that I'm saying to you, since I'm saying to them virtually, I couldn't ask for a better wife and mother of my children than mommy. Couldn't ask for better daughters than Karis and Kelly. Couldn't ask for better sons than Corey and Christian. So I appreciate you all. I thank God for you all. Such a blessing. You know, and it's natural and very fitting to also honor the senior leadership. And I am, but I'm going to kind of do it throughout the message. But I do want to thank Pastor Elder Francine, Pastor Greg, Lady Carol, we are under some good covering. We are under some great covering. We thank God for that. And even with this being anniversary month that comes up. But I'm going to actually bring them up some more. But I'm sorry, let's pray and then you all can be seated. But I'm going to ask Sister Angela, if you would bring back up that last part of the song. I'm not singing, but I do want to point something out. The part that says the end, I'm embraced. Keep going to the next one where it says, I'm embraced. No higher calling, no greater honor than to bow down. That's it. I'm amazed by your glory, embraced by your mercy. Lord, I live to worship you. And as you'll see why I'm emphasizing that last part, it didn't say I worship you, then I'm embraced. It said I'm embraced by your mercy. Then because I'm embraced by your mercy, I'm embraced by your, now I can say, Lord, I live to worship you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for your love and your mercy, which we'll never fully comprehend, dear God, but we'll always be in amazement. We'll always be in awe throughout all eternity. Dear God, as we continue to get a little bit more, relatively speaking, of an understanding of your great love toward us. And Father, we pray thanksgiving for that embrace, dear God, that graces us to embrace others on your behalf. So we thank you. We honor you. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, you'll be glorified. You know who I am. You know my frame. So, Lord, you know I mean, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Minister Pat, remember I sent you a text about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know that we do this, and I don't think we did it, but I just have to ask you. When Pastor's cousin came up and basically shared the message, remember that? I sent you a text. He shared the message of the song, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face. Remember I said, well, I know we don't normally do this, but did that kind of turn? She said, absolutely not. We had selected that 2 or 3 weeks beforehand. Da, da, da. And I'm just saying, stay at the throne, because in fact, the message tonight is about how we are embraced. And because we're embraced, we can worship him as far as how we embrace others. So I just thank God for just staying at the throne, Minister Pat, in that song. You know, so tonight's is kind of a convergence of things. We're in a time where we approach commemorating the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's actually a number of things that are converging right now. There's the theme, okay, embracing a greater purpose. We're still in anniversary month. Again, we're commemorating God's awesome sacrifice, and there's an assignment that I actually had in this message that prayerfully will come out. And so out of that, I'm going to expound upon each of those a little further, but out of that, the title is What God Gave and What We Must Give the Embrace. What God gave and what we must give the embrace. And so again, the theme this year is year of, so let's talk about the theme. The theme this year is year of embracing a greater purpose. So, you know, if you kind of go by trends, right, if it was a trend thing, this could have been the year of greater purpose, right? Because we've had years where you just kind of go straight to the noun, if you will. We just had year of transformation. Over 20 years ago, one of our themes was relentless courage. Relentless courage. We've had where it's like year of, and then you say the thing, right? So it could have been year of greater purpose, but it wasn't. It's year of embracing greater purpose. And we know Pastor Dunn just put words in to put words in. He's listening intently to the Lord to hear precisely what the Lord is saying. So we don't just pad words in. So it must be something pivotal about embracing. And the fact that even embracing is right in the middle. It's in before we say the greater purpose, we talk about embracing. So this message is actually going to key in a lot on embracing. Another part of it is, again, we're in an anniversary month. Anniversary is a time of reflecting on the goodness of God through his word and his people. And with a real special emphasis on our senior leadership, Pastor Walk and Elder Francine. And I will tell you that you're going to hear, and I'll bring out certain points that just about the decades of faithful ministering that has happened through our leaders and also through ministry gifts that we've had throughout these years as well. So that'll kind of come up as well. We've been imparted to for over decades. We've been embraced by his word for over 44 years. And like Pastor always says, even if you haven't been here for the full 44 years physically, you inherit that history. So you could have been here 2 years, but it's still 44 years of being embraced by his word. Because even the word we receive now is it's what saith the Lord. The Lord said something, he's saying something. When I hear say yes, it's like bringing all that together. He's still speaking, but by all means, it still connects with what he's already spoken over the years. So 2 years of ministry here is actually 44 years because we'll receive, it's like a cumulative buildup effect of the word that we're receiving. So I'm going to be saying some nuggets. I'm going to be referencing some nuggets of truth that we've actually had embrace us over these years. And then we have to look at the fact that, again, we're commemorating God's awesome sacrifice. And here's the thing. The Lord didn't save us by throwing the lifeline out to us. He was the lifeline. He didn't toss something out, hey, let me save you from sin. No, I'm the lifeline. In fact, I'm going to die so that you can have life. And you never can wear that out, right? You never can wear that out. So he was a lifeline, and he embraced us through death, burial, resurrection, okay? And the last part I'll just say in this kind of background is the assignment we have is that in order to embrace a greater purpose, we've got to hug the blessed assignment that he gives us. We can't just touch it, we can't tap it, we have to hug it, okay? So let's talk about receiving his embrace, because remember, you got to receive it. We can't, and actually there's history there. Again, over the years, we've learned that. In fact, Minister Shalita, when she was praying and she said, we don't want to just do stuff out of the flesh, we want stuff that's going to be significant and last, that's how this works. We don't do anything of significance and duration if we are not responding to what God has already done, right? This ministry has a history of that. Right, Pastor taught us, if you go to Genesis 2:7, if we pull that up, in Genesis 2:7, we've learned that, right, that if you even look at man's first action, it was actually a reaction, right? In Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. The Lord breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and then man became a living being. We always say that man's first action was actually reaction. He was exhaling after first having received, right? So again, God has to do it, and then we respond to it. Genuine love, right? If you look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, it says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, right? He first loved us, and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So he didn't say, y'all need to love one another. He said, with the understanding that God loved us, okay, now we ought to go ahead and love one another. So we're empowered to respond in God's love, right? Worship. Is it man's proactive gesture? Is man's what? Active response to God's revelation of himself. Okay, so God revealed himself to me. Okay, now I got something that was put in me so I can respond to it to declare his worth, right? So everything we have to do, including embracing, we got to first be embraced. And that's not a one-time thing. You got to keep getting embraced. It's a continual thing if we're going to embrace anything, his purpose or even his assignment for us. So he does something, and because he does something, now we can do something, all right? And so, again, it's with this embracing, we have to continually appreciate and receive his embrace in order to be able to genuinely embrace his greater purpose. Amen. So we got to embrace. Well, I've got some examples about embrace that I wanted us to talk through. And I'm going to start. So by the way, remember I said I was going to kind of commend senior leadership along the way. So let me tell you about something that happened on Saturday. When I came in here and I saw the signs, you know what a rhetorical question is? It's a question you already know the answer to, but you just go ahead and ask it, almost like for fun, right? So I saw the signs, and I saw Carmel, and I said, Carmel, who did these? I might have said something like, who did these signs? And she said, well, actually, I did. And so you know, it's the bloodline. They just, her, Minister Marvel, they just got the Lord blesses them, and they use those blessings in the house of God. And I said, no. You did a great work. I know you did the signs. Well, I didn't know you did the signs, but I know you. I can see you doing the sign. Who initiated it? You know I knew who it was. She said, Pastor Greg. I said, yeah, Pastor Greg. So my point is, you're going to see some visuals and stuff. You're going to see, like, some visuals to aid. But it's not like Pastor Greg level. I'm just saying I'm influenced by him. Because you know Pastor Greg, he'll have you come in here and say, and if you reach under the pews, it's taped under the pews. Your name is on the card. How did you even know I was going to see some kind? How did you even know I was going to see her, Pastor Greg? He'll find out. He always got some blessed way of being creative. So this is a little bit of that's been motivated, right? A lot of the words coming from Pastor. A lot of these little visuals are coming from Pastor Greg. So with that, let me give some backdrops. Sisters, not yet, but we're going to start in a second with that presentation mode. Let me give you some backdrop. This is still about receiving the embrace. I had a chance to do a little bit of memory lane a few weeks ago. I had gone down to West Palm Beach, actually, because my sister was getting married. Harold and Denise was getting married to Kenny. But it's close enough to Miami where I could stop down there. Okay, and it was also a special time because it was actually my stepdad's 85th birthday. So I got one father figure that's February of 39. I got another father figure that's February of 49. So she actually got married on February 24th, which was his 85th birthday. So it was just a special time. So, and going down there, I got a chance to go down memory lane. I stopped down in Miami, and if the Seminettes were here, they would know when I say I went by 54th Northwest 7th Avenue in Liberty City, right behind the Burger King. They would know exactly where I went. That was where Grandma Louise stayed. And I took some pictures, and I thank God. That's a whole storyline itself. There's some stones of remembrance that I have in Miami, Florida. I just thank God every time I can get down there. You know, you got South Georgia, you got Brooklyn, Illinois, you got Albany. We all got that spot we go to, and we just thank God. So now we can go with that first. We can go to the presentation if you go to slideshow mode, Sister Angela, because it ties into me receiving the embrace. All right, and what you'll see. Okay, so now if you click one time. I had that picture sent to me by a cousin. And if you look at that, you see the butterfly collar make you want to holler, right? You know that was in the 70s, right? So it was in the 70s. I was probably about 4 years old or so. And it took me to my mama. And I'm saying, Lord, I have received your embrace. I just so thank you for that. I was just appreciating God in that, and what it had me doing was I realized I was embraced as a child. I was embraced by a child. It's to the point that when I see little children, I don't know if you all ever do this, but you ever see a child and you just say, Lord, cover that child. I mean, you ain't even saying that. You just, Lord, cover that child. Watch over that child. They grow. I'm a living witness of that. The Lord covering me. How many of y'all know what Sulfur 8 is? You remember Sulfur 8? I don't even see Sulfur 8. You remember Sulfur 8? That was mama's weapon of choice. That was her weapon of choice. I don't know why she would do it, but she would take it from that fro. She would braid my hair. And then she'd take it out and put it back again. She just kept going back and forth. And I remember one time, sometimes I'd be like, why you keep going? Stop braiding my hair, because all you're going to do is take it back out and put it into an afro. But the reason I'm bringing that up is because I was embraced. I remember waking up on my mama's lap and her saying, turn your head over. And I just remember nurturing times like that, right? I remember a lot. I don't have the time to go into it, but here's where I'm going. I was embraced by the child as a child, and the Lord watched over me. And I'm gonna come back to that in a second, because most of you know my mom transitioned. I'm gonna tell you how smooth God is in a second. But I have a lot of nurturing memories of mom. I just gave you one little anecdote there about Sulfur 8. But he watched over me, y'all. He embraced me, y'all. He embraces you. Let me fast forward, okay, about the embrace of God. I'm in my first year in college. Christian just said I went to FAMU. First year of college. Y'all, sometimes the embrace is a snatch. Sometimes the embrace. Matter of fact, Pastor Greg, I think you said, Lord, stop them when you were praying. Sometimes that embrace is a snatch. Real quickly, I was about to mess up. Matter of fact, the fact that I was where I was, I had already messed up. So I was about to mess up squared or cubed. It was about to get compounded. At the time, now I was saved since 12, at least since 12, because I'm a pastor, I remember I would respond to Jimmy Swaggart. I would respond to Billy Graham as a child. So I'm saying by 12, I know for sure. That's just where I am, all right? Might have been 4, but by 12, I think I know for sure. The Lord confirmed that. But, so I knew the Lord, but you know what? Sometimes that love for God, I remember I said we're going to bring up nuggets. Pastor brought up, I remember from the first messages Pastor brought up, he said, the love of God does not replace the fear of God. It's built on the foundation of reverence. Love doesn't replace reverence. You just build on reverence of God, right? I'm telling you, nothing but the fear of God came over me, the reverential fear of God. And it was like, you ever see somebody that gets grabbed by the back of the neck? It was like the reverential fear of God said, if you don't get out of here, nothing but the fear of God. So sometimes the fear of God is a snatch, okay? And that's the embrace. And I thank God for that snatch, all right? What'd you call it, Pastor? Trembling Mysterium? I think that's what you call it when it's like Trembling Mysterium. I think it's like, God, you are God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you go to, if you look at, in Genesis, when Lot, if you look at Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 through 16, you'll see that if you go to 15, matter of fact, we had time. If you go to Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 through 16, you'll see that what it says is when the morning dawns, let me give you some backdrop. The angel said, y'all need to get out. The two angels said, Lot, get your family out of here. You need to get out of here because this place is about to be destroyed, Sodom and Gomorrah. Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And Dr. D. Bangett brought it. Remember I said we've had ministry gifts. I remember Dr. D. Bangett brought this up, and I had never realized this. And Lot lingered. The men took hold of his hand, his wife's hands, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. They snatched him out. That was the embrace. Not, come on, why don't you do it? No. Get out of here. So, but you can't bank. But here's the thing. Don't bank on it, though, because that same wife, they let her turn around and look back at the city. Those same two daughters, they let them do an atrocity with their dad. So you can't bank on that. I'm just saying, Lord, sometimes you snatch. Thank God for the embrace. Thank God for the embrace. I pray that over my children. I say, Lord, that same, let may the fear of God fall on them, on me. I still need that fear. The love, I love them. But thank God I fear him too, right? So that's, I want to bring that up. But most of what I'm going to talk about is about this embrace that we probably think of, and that being a hug. So with that, there's another kind of embrace, the embrace we think about the most, for the most part, and that is the hug. You could not have told me the day before Thanksgiving 2019 that Mama was going to pass. You just couldn't have told me that. I don't have all the time to go into it. As my siblings may know, if they're watching, Mama, Bruce Willis didn't have nothing on Mama. You talk about Die Hard. She went through a lot. She went through a lot. So you just couldn't have told me that she was going to transition. But as most of you know, many of you know, she did. She transitioned. The Lord, I'm not saying he hugged. He huggeth. He huggeth me like only he can. When I tell you I don't have to look at the screen, I don't have to look at the paper, he has, you know, you talked about the indelible mark. He has impressed upon me a hug through his word that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variance nor shadow of turning. Let me tell you how he impressed it on me. First of all, he let me know I was the one. You said this at Sister Dorothy Jackson's homegoing. When you said what you really received for her was coming from God, that was me. Pastor uses these anthropomorphic terms. Anthropomorphic means when you say God is doing something like a man. It's like a metaphor, anthropomorphic term. That was me braiding your hair with sulfur 8 telling you to turn your head over. That was me giving up my lunch money for work so that you'll have that garment that you needed for the school play. That was me through your mama. Every good gift and perfect gift coming from above. So everything you miss out of her, rightly so, thank me for it. Just to have right context. And then he says, there is no shadow of turning. The same God that kept her through thick and thin, he didn't get bad or mean or what have you. He's the same loving God, right? I just got to trust him, like it says in Ecclesiastes, that even when it kind of goes a different way, there's no variance nor shadow of turning. In fact, if you look at that, look at Jesus. Jesus is in glory right now. He had to transition through death for that glory to manifest, okay? And look at what he has birthed in the earth. And Minister Doug talked about this this morning, saying about how death, you can't look at death like other people might look at it. Sometimes a death is a part of a greater purpose, right? Sometimes death, let me get to something in case I have to speed up and I don't get to it. If we go to Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11. Still hugging, even through death. In fact, I'll even say especially in death. Still hugging. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Pastor just shared this recently. He has made everything beautiful in his time, and he has put eternity in their hearts, talking about men, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to end. Let me say this. What that tells me is, you know how they say, can I trust you when I can't trace you? That's a very potent term. Lord, I don't see how that lines up, but you have put eternity in my heart. I know you, God. I know you're good. I don't see how, it kind of threw me off, to be honest. I'm hurting, but you're God. You thank you. You put eternity in my heart. So I know it's going to be all right, and I can't figure you out from the beginning to the end. You're God. Pastor said something about Angela sometime earlier this year. He was talking about how people see Christ in Angela through that. And I remember when you came back, Pastor, you said you lined up everything you knew how to do to go in there and pray for Vernon. And I remember you said something that was so potent. You said, God said, don't rob me of the mystery. God said, don't rob me of the mystery. Meaning, yeah, keep praying, but I'm God. I'm God. You got to trust me. I'm God. Sister Beta, you got to trust me. Comus, you got to trust me. I'm God. I'm God. So I'm bringing that up because I want to bring up a very vivid testimony. This is like anniversary month. This, to me, is an example of him being in glory. And yet it took a death. It took a transition and great things that have been birthed in the earth. And now he embraces, even when others might think you were released from his embrace, he actually embraced you in a unique way. Okay, so let me set this up. So that was my first you couldn't have told me, right, about Mama. Let me tell you another you couldn't have told me. And it's a part of really the testimony of this house. Okay, and it's been a decade in the making. Y'all, that Wednesday night, in late May of 2014, I believe it was May 28, when Tracy Michelle Mathis entered into what I call the fullness of eternity. We're in eternity, but I say she entered into the fullness of eternity. You couldn't have told me that. You just couldn't have. I mean, that girl was a true trooper. She is a true trooper. That girl was, is, and shall always be a true trooper. So much I can say about Tracy Michelle Mathis. Let me just bring up one visual. One visual I have of Tracy Michelle Mathis. We were meeting down in the basement. If you ever go down the basement, you got to go through some steps to get down to the basement. It was something for youth, CMU. It was probably Campus Ministries United and College Ministry. Tracy was going down steps, and I had the privilege of saying this a decade ago at her celebration. I said, when I think about Tracy and her being a true trooper, a pen, a pad, and a ponytail. A pen, a pad, and a ponytail. And that was Tracy Mathis. She was going to get the job done. So one of my visuals, when we down in the basement, you got to work to get down to the basement. You got to work to come back up out of the basement. Tracy was down there. I think Rob was at a phase where he was having to work a lot out of town, like going to Mississippi or something like that. That girl was down there with a notepad, had Robert. He was either in a stroller or not too far beyond, having been in a stroller. So she got one in the stroller and two in the belly, Anson and Austin, taking notes, getting assignments, and just on it. And beyond what she did, Tracy was special. Tracy is special. Tracy, and I think a lot about Kim, Tracy was a peer, a comrade, a colleague, a sister, a dear friend. I mean, she was a blessing. She is a blessing. Now, when she transitioned, I'm going to tell you something. We all were stunned, right? I'm going to be honest with you, so much so where, I don't even know if I really conscientiously thought this way, but honestly, I was like, Lord, you about to resurrect somebody. I mean, I was that convinced. You know, we talk about the 11th hour. I said, Lord, I guess it's going to be the 13th hour because I just don't see her not being here. You gonna resurrect her? Wow, that's going to really be special, right? That's where I was, all right? So, and I remember I was talking to, I always think about Brother Paul Daniel. I think it was maybe when his son had transitioned. And I remember I was asking him how he was doing. And if you know Brother Paul Daniel, he's straight up. He said, let me tell you something. And he's talking about himself and his son. Either we're going to believe this thing or we not. Either he really is Lord. It's like push come to shove. What's the real deal? Either we're going to believe him or we're not, right? This is like one of those instances. I think about that. I fully believe that she is in the fullness of God. And so she's straight. She's more than straight. And I'm going to tell you something. If you could count time and glory, which, you know, time is timeless, I guarantee you she is no less overwhelmed right now, if we could say right now in eternity, than she was on May 28, 2014. She is just as overwhelmed. She is just as, you know, awestruck. She has it going on, all right? But what about those who remain? That's really the part I'm getting to about the embrace, all right? So I shared on Ecclesiastes, and what my point is, I want to get to is, God has so miraculously, beautifully embraced. It's amazing. Rob Mathis, much the same dynamic as me. Same birth year, 1972 baby, same homeschooling dynamic, working, wife at home, homeschooling. Same school, Georgia Tech, same church, same assignment of working with young folks while having a house full of young folks. Same, except as of May 2014, there was a big difference at that point. And I'm telling you, and I would watch him. I would get emotional seeing Rob come in here. How many of you, be real, late 2000, I would get emotional seeing him come in with his three princes. I would just get emotional. I would get teary-eyed. So I'm seeing him come in. I'm seeing him continue to receive the embrace of God, okay? I'm seeing him live out what it means to really trust God and receive his embrace. By the way, real quick plug. Grandma Mathis got it going on. What she did for that season, I always give her. I love to see his mama because I just so appreciate what she did, as he does, as Ruby does, as their sons do. So much props to her. But I watched him, though. I would watch him. I was trying not to stalk him, but I would watch him. I watched what he did New Year's Eve of 2014. That brother ran to this altar right at midnight as we enter in 2015. I don't know what he said to God, but I knew it was deep. But then if you back up, you talk about the embrace of God and receiving the embrace of God. On the one hand, 6 months later that you would even come to a Thanksgiving service would be great. But you giving the message? You giving the message 6 months after your wife has transitioned per request? And when I listen to that, I'm listening to what it means to receive the embrace of God. First of all, a couple nuggets. I remember he was saying, one of the things he was wondering about is like, what was the witness now? Because people at work were wondering, you know, they knew that they'd been praying for Tracy. He had been praying for his wife, and we had been praying for Tracy. So now what? And he was like, if I'm not mistaken, he could fact check me, but I believe he was saying, if one of his thoughts was, wow, what does the witness look like? Those people were very much, I don't even know the verb to use, they were impacted. They were embraced by seeing how the Lord was carrying him after that in a distinctive way. And I'm going to tell you something he said at the end of that message that it even is prophetic to the year we're in now of embracing a greater purpose. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said something to the effect of trusting God. It's not trusting God when you need to trust him for what you want. It's trusting God when you believe him for what he wants. Right? Right? So I'm looking at all that, and I'm getting embraced. And I'm saying, I think about something that Bishop Larry Jackson said one time. Bishop Larry Jackson came here one time, and he came out of Ephesians 3:20, and that's the scripture that says, now to him who is exceedingly abundantly above, who does exceedingly abundantly all, I'm sorry, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That's my motto for the Mathis household, EA3. And what he did was, it's a popular game. I don't know if it's still out. It's called EA3. It would say EA3 is in the game. But he said, it's a real EA3. It's exceedingly abundantly above all. My simple prayer would be, Lord, back then would have been, Lord, please embrace him. Keep him encouraged in you. Help him to remain. Well, I think Elder Robert Mathis has remained. I think Elder Robert Mathis, the Lord has kept him these decades and is doing great and mighty things through him. And I'll be real, Elder Robert Mathis prays effectively for the sick. For the sick, effectively. So he has done that. And then, wouldn't you know, and now we can get ready for the presentation, Sister Angela. The Lord knew what he needeth, right? And he gave him a gem in the form of Miss Ruby Mathis, right? So if you, okay, right there, stop right there. Now, you know, I'm gonna have some fun now because Ruby, I could say Ruthie just as well. Let me tell you why I say that. If you look at the book of Ruth, because again, Ruby embraced us and let us embrace her. Because let's be real, Rob, I like your pastor. He's a good pastor. Your first lady is sweet. Pastor Greg is nice. He's, you know, everybody's sweet, but we can't be there. I need to be somewhere where there's no other reference. No other reference. I'm Miss Mathis. That could have gone that way, right? Okay. Lord, please embrace her. Remember, my theme is exceedingly abundantly above all. Lord, please embrace her. Let her know that we thank you for her and as a blessed member. Okay, so Ruthie, instead of Ruby, you see that she said, no, your people are going to be my people. Your God already is my God, and your people are going to be my people. I embrace that, and they embrace me. And so next thing I know, two quick things. She's scaring elders from being in cooking contests. I'm messing with Elder Rod Benson. I signed up. I'm trying to be supportive of sports ministry. I signed up. I said, well, who's on the cooking contest? And Elder Rob Benson's on there and Ruby Mathis. I come and eat. I said, okay, her chicken wings are good. Where are his? He dropped out. She scared him off. Their brother's dropped out. No, I'm messing with him. I'm instigating. But I know about that salmon, Elder Rod. I do know about that salmon. You can go toe-to-toe on some salmon. But I think she scared him off from the wings. Right? And not only was she willing to be embraced and be a member, that girl's over membership. I had to give her a report the other day. She and Rob worked together over membership. So you look at what God does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, all right? Now, what about the sons? When my mama passed, I was 46 going on 47. I wasn't 11 going on 12, right? Lord, please keep them. Please, don't, you know, I know they may have questions for you, but don't keep them, Lord. Keep them, Lord. So if you go to the next one, okay, if you go from left to right, that's the graduate, the gentle giant part two, and the guardian in the background. That's the graduate. Austin's about to graduate this semester. The reason I call Anson the gentle giant part two is because he's a big man like his dad. And it so blessed me when I saw him being an armor bearer for Cortland not too long ago when Cortland shared. And I was like, look at God, look at God. You got it's in that same big stature, bigger heart, sensitive, sweet, and everything. So gentle giant part two, but in his own way. And then his name say Robert. Where's that space? Is the space for a sign? Which is it over here? It's over there. God had that brother change the decor of this sanctuary, right? I mean, it's like Space Force. Got the brother defending the galaxy. Got the brother defending the galaxy, right? Actually, I thought about that, though, because you heard this real quickly about the Russia and the satellites and taking satellites down. But exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's a testimony. That's just as much a testimony as seeing Sister Narkita and thanking God for that testimony. God is God. God is God. God is God. So, with that, Pastor said something on Sunday, and it was strong. He was like, is that all God? Okay, so God healed your cancer. Is that all? So God did this for you. Is that all? And I say that as I go into this next part, because this one, remember, you got to get embraced. You can't do any of what I'm about to go into unless you're continually getting this embrace from God. Okay, continually getting this hug from him. But we got to distribute this embrace. We got to embrace others. It's not just for us. Recent brief exhortations. Sister Kathy Brewer, one time towards the end of service, she said, the overflow is for others. The overflow is for others. That's what she said. And then my children was so tickled recently when Elder Francine came up and she was referencing as part of, introduction. She said, that song, I don't know if the title is Jesus, You Love Me Too Much, or if that's just a lyric, but that song, a lot of us know that song, Jesus, You Love Me Too Much. I didn't know if she was saying that or to the core, but she's saying, Jesus, You Love Me Too Much. Too much, oh. That's too much, oh. That's what I thought she was saying to the core, but too much, oh. Now, let's finish that sentence. Jesus, You Love Me Too Much for me to keep this embrace to myself. That's the finish of it. Yeah, You Love Me Too Much for me to keep all this to my, I got to give it to somebody else. It can't just stop with me. And so how do we let his embrace overflow out of us to embrace others? Well, first of all, let's look at the Lord's posture. So a lot of times as we're commemorating his death, burial, and resurrection, we think of the Lord, and understand that be so, we think about him being stretched out on the cross. And certainly that is the sacrifice that we all, I mean, you appreciate is too weak a word. We are internally indebted to the Lord because of that posture. Not just the physical posture, but the posture to become sin for us. That's what it says. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be righteous in the Lord. So he stretched out on the cross. But let me say something, though. There's a subsequent posture that he has that we need to be mindful of. Okay? And Sister Angela, this is the last image on that PowerPoint that we can go to now. All right? There's another posture that he has that we need to be mindful of. And it's a part of him embracing modern man. So you can click it. Now, keep going. Next one. And click it again. So that, if you look at that, it's used evangelistically even. Let me tell you what that is in a nutshell. That's the Lord. And guess, look what he's doing. He's embracing a man. He's not embracing a Roman soldier. He's embracing modern man. You see the jeans and the T-shirt? That modern man, he's us. He still has the hammer in his hand. He still has a nail in his hand. He didn't wait till the man dropped the hammer, dropped the nail. He didn't wait for that to embrace him. He didn't wait for the man to get sorry and bow at his knees. The man wasn't even looking at him. He came up and embraced him. And you see that that trail of blood under his feet? That's the blood he shed for the man. Okay? So he embraced that. And I keep thinking about Romans 5, 6 through 9 that says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. But God," I like how King James says it, "commendeth his love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Not after we got it straight, not after I felt bad. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if you look at that visual, you can show it again, Sister Angela. I just want us to realize he embraces. That's his posture now. That's what he's doing right now. He isn't, you can go to it, just click one more time. I just want to get that visual once again before we go off of this visual, right? He is embracing. How is he embracing though, right? Remember, I told you for me, he hugged me. I tell you how he hugged me. He hugs me when I miss mama and I say, "I wish mama was at the wedding. We had a picture of her on the bouquet. Boy, wouldn't mama have liked to see her pretty daughter looking just like her get married to Kenny." That's when every good gift, every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variance, no shadow turning. That is my hug. That is my hug. Every December 16th, that's my hug. Every December 12th, that's my hug. By the way, I should have known they were going to be special because they got married on December 12th. But that's how he hugs me, okay? How is he hugging mankind? Okay. Not yet, Sister Angela, but we're about to go to that last piece, which is outside this video, outside of this PowerPoint, it's the video. He hugs man through us, okay? He hugs man through us. I'm going to show you something, and it's amazing that it ties right into Pastor's message where the gospel in the context of daily living. The gospel in the context of daily living. So, Sister Angela, we're going to show it twice, by the way. I want you to show the video. We're going to watch a video. It's not a long video. I'm going to say something. We're going to watch it again. Okay, we're gonna show it again because this. I look for excuses to watch it actually, but I'm just bring out something to you. I see so much in that 1 minute. I see cross culture church. I see in the context of daily living. I see so much in it. I get so encouraged. I get so convicted by it. I get so encouraged by it. Like you, Sister Bernadette, I get teary-eyed about it. I probably watched that thing about 20 times. In fact, Sister Angela and some nurses and I sent the video. I don't even do stuff. I typically don't do stuff like that. I was so impacted, I had to forward the video. I sent it to my family because in my 51 years, I'll say what I am saying. If I ever saw the glory of God, modern day, that was it. That was it. It is beautiful. That is so powerful. And just backdrop, Bailey Merle is a young lady's name, had been horse playing with her dad, took a bad fall. That, from what I saw in one post, the doctors gave her a 5% chance of ever walking again. This lady, the nurse, I wish I had her name, didn't know her. She was on her rounds. She was in the context of this nurse's daily living, right? She was just doing her work, but she didn't do a routine thing in a routine way. This was yet another patient, but she invested in this woman. She embraced this woman. She embraced her long before this hug happened, that nurse was embracing this girl. If you didn't know better, if you were like that, you would think that she was hugging her daughter. You would think that she was hugging her daughter. I want you to play it again. I want y'all to listen. Turn the volume up if you can, Sister Angela. I want you to hear the glory of God. You can go ahead and play it. And just start, if it can play again, I'm going to say something, and yeah.
Thank you for your answer, because she was waiting to take her to the
house. And turn the volume up, please.
Goodness, look at you.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, my God.
Look, I'm the one crying. Where's your hand?
Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, I've been praying for you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, man. What is it? Thank you.
Wow, look at that.
Thank you. Oh, baby.
Don't you ever make your day better?
Thank you. Oh, Lord, oh, wow. Mercy.
But I went kissed
the look, and what did I just say? I said, look, I just said, if she's on 6th floor, she's going to come
up. Thank you, Lord. Oh, see, wow. There, I told you.
So, let me tell you something. I want you to hear it. Actually, I'm to the point where normally when I watch this video, I'm saying this the right way. The miracle is eclipsed by the response. I tend to focus more on that, how this, the glory of God, that transcends even this girl getting up out of a wheelchair unexpectedly. This is a medical professional, right? So if it's a miracle, you can tell, because this is a medical, she has been doing work on this girl. She knows the girl's charts and stats. So for her to scream like that, that had to be nothing but the move of God, right? And here's my point. The girl got embraced, obviously, right? How many of you know the co-workers got embraced? And in fact, the nurse was embraced herself by God all throughout. That's how she was in position to pray for the young lady. You could tell she was serious. When she says, I've been praying for you, she was praying for that girl. You wouldn't respond like that if you were not invested in embracing this soul, right? So, and it's so funny too, because it's something about an embrace. I've heard two Pastor Gregs come up here and talk about a legendary Sister Grace Jones hug. It's just something about a godly embrace that will, from what I said, each one of them came in and said, I knew I was going to be a member here and wound up being in the pastorate. And they all referenced the legendary, I feel like when you hear about athletes that you never saw but you heard about, it's like, you know, the legendary Sister Grace, that's a part of this ministry's anniversary too. But here's where I'm going with that. If you never hug somebody like that, embrace, what you can do is we can enter this embrace for souls, though. But I'm going back to what Minister Shalita said. I'm going back to what I said earlier. I know for a fact we can watch this. We can get misty-eyed. We can really be impressed. But if we don't daily get embraced by God to further equip us, it'll run out. You'll forget the video. It'll get clouded in the cares of life. But if we stay before the Lord, like I think Brother Darren Brown does, as he continues to go out and reach the least of these, right, as the world would say. We're all the least of these, by the way. But you got to keep getting embraced. You got to keep getting embraced. Minister Willie Tour, I know he has to keep getting embraced in order to do what he does. So we have to keep getting embraced, but Jesus, you love me too much. Oh, this can't stay with me. And I guarantee you one last thing. I tell you I was going to commend Pastor Elder Francine in a special way towards the end. One last thing is, when she embraced that girl, she was being embraced by God herself. The nurse herself. It's something about when you won't run out. It's like the oil, right? The more you give out, the more God is pouring in you. So it's not like you're going to run out, but you will continue. You'll get even more overflow for others because he sees that you're distributing it like it's supposed to happen, right? So we have to be embraced so that God can embrace others through us. And he is faithful to embrace even when it's some rough spots He has put eternity in our hearts. No man can know what he does from beginning to end. We trust God, and we let him move on us to move in the lives of others. So I'm going to commend Pastor Elder Francine with a request, because, you know, it's natural to pray over this. And this is what I think of when I think about Pastor and Elder Francine. I'll start with Pastor. If you talk about a consistent embrace of souls, I don't know how many at this point, tens of thousands, have come through the door. And that's just have come in here. I'm not even talking about what who he's reached. Pastor has the same, even more so, I would say, disposition for souls to be reached and to be embraced. There's been no diminishing. That's why I don't get tired of clapping for him, because you shouldn't, if you realize all the more how the Lord has invested in him and how he keeps pouring out into others. So if anybody's going to pray about embrace, us receiving God's embrace and embracing others, I have to ask Pastor and Elder Francine to come up. And I say Elder Francine, I'm being kind of funny, but I use this term for Elder Francine, and I think I've told her this, and I tell people when I say this, you have to understand it the right way. Usually when you hear somebody say that, I'll say it, she knows how to work a room. A lot of times, if you don't know better, you're thinking that person knows how to be slick, they know how to be manipulative, they know how to work the room in a conniving way. No. I could sit up in that second level and get me a bag of popcorn. I wouldn't need popcorn in here. She would have 100, Angela, correct me if I'm wrong, there would be 130 people in here. She will be determined to get to all of her, at least a wave, a blowing of the kiss, a hug, something. You're going to know that you in her space. And you can go somewhere and come back 8 years later, and she'll ask you, how's Tanya doing? Who is Tanya, Elder Francine? So she embraces souls. So my request, as I commend them, is I want y'all to pray for us. I want y'all to pray for us that we would receive his embrace and embrace others. Because Jesus, you love me too much, to keep this to myself. So I'm going to ask y'all to come up, and I'm going right out there, and I'm asking if y'all would pray over us receiving God's embrace and embracing souls for the kingdom. Amen.